Okay. You know, I was tempted to say something about that straw. But I knew if I said what I was tempted to say, that Pearson was going to give me the Bronx cheer. He was going to give me one of those, oh, you know. So I didn't want to give him the... I didn't want to give him the satisfaction of doing that tonight, so I'm not going to say it. You can figure out what I was going to say. It's real easy, real simple, too simple for me to say. So it ought to be easy for you to figure it out then. And if all that's confusing to you, don't worry about that, because nothing else that I say tonight will be confusing. As a matter of fact, it will be fastened in the young people's minds by the time that we're done. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 5, please, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Summer is just about over. How sad it is. Ah. At least this year it stayed warm till the end, and that's kind of good, and happy about that. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before Thee now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that as we look into the Word of God, and as we make application, and as we look into the things that we'll be doing in the school this year. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord might direct our hearts, that we might have a desire to please Thee, and Lord, that You might add unto us the joy of the Lord, and the goodness of our salvation might be with us every day. Lord, we pray for those folks here who might not know Thee as Savior, that they might understand that they need the Savior and come to the Savior tonight. And we pray for each parent here and for each child here, that they might take things very seriously as far as doing things right, so that we might all have joy together. We pray and we trust Thee for blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, we start out with the truth that the Lord knows what He's doing. The Lord knew what He was doing. The Lord knows what He's doing when He created all the worlds and all the people. He knew what He was doing in the matter of creation. He also knows what He's doing in the matter of instruction. The Word of God gives much instruction. He knew what He was doing when He created the heaven and the earth. He knew what He was doing when He created human beings. He knew what He was doing when He put down the instructions in the Word of God. He knows about creation. He knows about instruction. He also knows about happiness. Almighty God created happiness along with everything else. And you know what? That's what we all want. That's what we all want. Many people might think there are different ways to find happiness, but we all want happiness. And this Word of God says in verse 29, you'll notice it says that it might be well with them. They keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them. That's what we want out of life. We want to be happy. And we want it to be well with us. That's our desire. And the Lord knows what it takes. And you know what? He knows what it takes better than we know what it takes. And that's why He gave us commandments. Commandments are really good. Why? So you'll be happy. Now, how can that be? Don't we all feel miserable when there are rules that we have to keep? We think, what can be worse in life than there to be a bunch of rules, and we've got to keep those rules. So how can commandments keep us happy? Well, think of it this way, because it's the right way to think of it. How would I be happy if someone killed my child? I think every parent here would recognize right away that you could hardly feel more miserable for a longer length of time than if someone killed your child. How could you be happy if someone killed your child? There's no way to be happy then. How could you be happy if someone stole the affections of your wife? That could have a lasting scar too, couldn't it? How can you be happy if someone stole your life savings? How can you be happy if someone speaks falsehoods about you and ruins your reputation? How can you be happy if there are people who are jealous of your possessions and let that jealousy kind of spill out in many different ways? How can you be happy? Now, all of those things, you understand, I just listed five different things. All of those things make a person sad, don't they? Do you know where those five offenses came from? They are the last five of the Ten Commandments. But you never thought of them that way, did you? Look at verse 17, same chapter. Do you know where you find the Ten Commandments in the Word of God? Oh, every school child should know. What chapter? Yell it out. Any kid. Right. Okay. Exodus chapter 20. But also Deuteronomy chapter 5 has exactly the same things. We usually think of Exodus chapter 20 because that's the first introduction, but Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to take you to the last five commandments starting at verse 17. Thou shalt not kill. What did I say? I couldn't be happy if somebody killed my child. Thou shalt not kill. There's a commandment that can keep me happy. Next one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I said I couldn't be happy if somebody stole my wife's affections. There's a commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, that can keep me happy. Neither shalt thou steal, verse 19. I said, if somebody stole my life savings, I'd be sad. There's a commandment that can keep me happy. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, saying false things against them. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. You see, that's jealousy, covetousness. Neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. You see, commandments then are really good, aren't they? Because they can keep everybody happy if everybody keeps them. They are not rules that we say, oh, these rules are oppressing me. No, they are keeping everyone happy. You keep the rules and everyone stays happy. If you don't do any of those five things, then everybody stays happy, don't they? And that's exactly why we have rules in a school. How we gather together, all the staff of the school, and we say, let us sit down and let us make up some rules so that we can keep everybody miserable. That's not what we do. We have the rules in the school so everybody be happy. Not to deny you fun. We want you to have joy in the school, but not at someone else's expense. Do you see that is what the commandments are all about, aren't they? It's not at someone else's expense. Young person, learn that and you'll do well. Learn what? Learn to have fun, but not at someone else's expense. If you can do that, you're going to do great in life. Let's consider adultery for a moment. Now there's a word, adultery. What is adultery? It's two people having fun. What? Yeah, it's two people having fun. Listen, they wouldn't be committing adultery if they weren't having fun. Nobody forces people and say, you must commit adultery. I know you're not going to like it. It's not done that way. No, adultery is two people having fun at someone else's expense, at a high price for someone else, whether it's a husband or a wife, and also it will be at the expense of children coming along, and who knows who else is going to get messed up in the expense. We need to learn how to enjoy life without it being at someone else's hurt. Let's take the bully, for instance. He has fun. He has a lot of fun when he sees someone else humiliated. So he's having fun at someone else's expense. That's what the commandments are all about, eliminating that. The wise cracker. He builds his self-fulfillment by getting a laugh at someone else's expense. The last five commandments are there to eliminate people from having fun at someone else's expense. Learn to have fun without hurting others. If you can do that, you're going to have a good life. Now I have a goal for the school. I want it to be a place of Christian joy. That's the goal. That is the goal. I want it to be a place of Christian joy. And we're going to work toward that goal. And if we don't get it this month, we'll keep on trying. The Christian life is a life of joy. Even among trials, it is a life of joy. There is no better life. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Amen. And every saved person would say the same thing. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2 in the New Testament. If you don't know where it is, just listen. I want to show you the book of Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul. He was in jail when he wrote it. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to notice a word here. Philippians 2, 17 and 18. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For this same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. He's using the word joy and rejoice, part of the Christian life. Here's a man in jail. He says, if I'm sacrificed because of the faith, I'm still going to have joy. You ought to have joy. You ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. Even among trials, God's people can have joy. You know, unsaved people have to have circumstances their way to be happy. The lost person has to have it has to go right. He's got to have the brakes to be happy. Now maybe he works hard, and the people work hard get a lot of brakes. But he's got to have things go his way to be happy. The saved person can be happy even in sorrows and even in trials because they have the joy of the Lord in them. Joy among sorrows. No one can escape sorrows. No one can escape, I guess if you wanted to call it bad breaks, you know. No one can escape problems. Yet there can be joy. You know, I have joy in my life amid sorrows, you know. I have known of friends who betray me in words of criticism, you know, and yet nothing can stop the joy of my Christian life. The apostle was in jail, and you could not stop his joy. I want our school to be a place of joy because that's what the Christian life is all about. Now, young people, don't misunderstand. Joy is not always the same as, or does it include, fun and games. School is not vacation. And you know, I hate to see the vacation time go too. I do. Even though I usually rise up much earlier anyway than we have to get to school, even though that's true, I still hate to have to. That's kind of human, isn't it? School is not vacation. School is not playtime. School is... I wish Benjamin was here for this. I want to give him a little test. Capital W, capital O, capital R, capital K. These kids got to go back to school. I can't spell. Work. Yes, work. Of course, I know you knew that. School is work. Now, if you want to blame somebody about that, you can. You can say, I don't like work. If you want to blame somebody, you can. But don't blame me. I don't want to be blamed for this. And Bill Joseph doesn't want to be blamed for this. And there is somebody to blame. And we can really blame him. And we can really jump on these people. They deserve to be jumped on. You can jump on Adam and you can jump on Eve. And you can blame them. It's their fault. And it is their fault. It is their fault. They really messed it up for all of us. They really did. And if you're saved and you get up there, you can tell them that. And so Almighty God said because of their sin, because they couldn't keep their hands off the fruit, when they had everything else in the world, they couldn't keep their hands off the fruit, Almighty God said to them, because you did that, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, Genesis 3:19. Now that's how it is, young people. Whether you're young or whether you're old, that's how it is. God made it that way as a punishment for that sin that has been passed on through the generations. That's how it is, young people. That is how it is. And you can say, no, I'm young. It doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. God didn't give any exemption up till the year 18. He did not. It's work. It means you have to work. It means you can't have fun all the time. It is part of God's punishment for sin. Now, do you know what that means to all of us?
We have to do things that we don't like to do. I have to do a lot of things I don't like to do. And you're going to have to do things that you don't like to do. Oh, isn't that something? You're going to have to take some subjects you don't like. But, Mom, I don't like that subject. Why should I have to take it if I don't like it? Because I would like to do what I like to do. Listen, young person, if the apostle could have joy while he was in prison, we ought to be able to have a little joy in our school, huh? I want it to be a place of Christian joy. You know what these kids are doing right now? They're saying, yeah, I know all that stuff, preacher. When are you going to get to the other stuff? I'll get there. And there's two basic things we need to do if we're going to have that school be a place of Christian joy. One is honor God. The other is honor each other. I'm going to start with number one, honor each other. Honor each other. This matter of having joy in a school... The whole thing starts with it being built on respect. Do you realize that every single human being wants respect? We want people to think well of us, don't we? We don't want everybody around us thinking we're trash. We want people to think well of us. Isn't that right? That's what humans want. They want respect. You know, I remember Susan when she was preschool, little thing, could just talk. I don't remember how old, but she was just starting to talk. You know, we went to a store, we came home from the store, you know. I don't know, it was a toy store, some store that had to do with little kids, you know. And she said in the car on the way home, that man liked me. And I thought, wow, that young, and she's thinking about whether a man likes her. You know, we want people to think well of us. Respect. That's what it is. Respect. You know, I show my children respect. I show. Ask them and see if they'll. If they don't, I'll beat them. You know? I don't say to my children, "You never help. You never clean your room. You're lazy. You're no good." I never say that to my children. I show them respect. And they better tell you that's true. You know, it's the way to happiness. Do you know that? It's the way to happiness. We enjoy life when we enjoy each other, and we enjoy each other when we have respect for one another. Isn't that true? We never enjoy life when the people that are close to us, the people that are around us, the people that are over us, the people that are under us, are telling us what rotten no goods we are. We don't enjoy life. We enjoy life when there's respect. And that's where everything is going to start in school. By the grace of God, the Lord giving me strength, I aim to see it come to pass in our school. Teachers will show students respect. Students show teachers respect. And I'll settle for no less than that. Students will not be personally stigmatized by the teacher. They won't be stigmatized as some kind of unspiritual problem child. Or bad or anything else. Not in our school. If a student transgresses, they'll be punished. And when the punishment is done, they pay their debt to our little society, it's forgotten. It's over. That's it. It's the end of it. They're back in good graces. They're not stigmatized for having done something. Now, that's one way teachers will show respect. What is student respect? Students must show respect for teachers at all times, and we'll settle for no less. Now, I expect the teachers to enforce this. Do you know why I expect that? Because it's good for the student, that's why. Do you know that no one likes disrespectful kids of any age? Isn't that right? No one likes it. Parents, if you want your children not to be liked, you just let them be disrespectful. It's that simple. And they won't be liked. Is that what you want, parents? Of course not. Do you want your children, that their teachers, the youth workers, the Sunday school teachers, anyone in authority, you know, can hardly get themselves up to be around your kids because they do not show respect? Do you want that? Of course not. Let's pull together for your child's sake. As far as I'm concerned, we start a new Wednesday. Clean slate. The ground is equal for all teachers and all students starting Wednesday. No one is coming in with a reputation. Young people, you will begin earning your reputation on September 1st. And on what basis do I say that there is a slate clean and you will earn your reputation on September 1st? Well, number one, I am demanding from teachers that be the case, and I believe that these teachers will honor me in that. Number two, I preached on forgiveness back, end of May, beginning of June, I think it was. May was earlier than that. I preached on forgiveness, and I believe that most everyone saw that it was their duty before God to forgive their brother, and they responded. Therefore, that cleans the slate, doesn't it? That's what forgiveness does. It should clean the slate. The only problem is sometimes backslidden people aren't there to hear those kind of a things, and they go on about their ways and sometimes hurt the work of God because they haven't cleaned the slate themselves, not being there. Pray for them that the Lord might bring them all to love. You know, we looked at a verse of Scripture, John chapter 13. It's good to review this because the Lord Jesus Christ said it. John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, 34. God gave us a commandment. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us a commandment. And we ought to keep this commandment in our hearts. From back when I first preached on it, we ought to keep it all the way through the school year. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you. This is Jesus speaking, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He says, I want you to love each other like I love you. How did he love us? How did the Lord Jesus Christ love us? He loved us. He sacrificed himself on the cross. He died for our sins, that one act and nothing on our behalf, no good works on our own, no merit of our own, not because there was something good about us did he die on the cross. He died on the cross because he was the only way that could pay the penalty for our sins. And we believe that, and he gave us eternal life, not on any of our merit. How did he love us? He loved us unto dismissing all of our sins based on his work. How should we love? We're supposed to love as he loved. And so we too should be sacrificial in our love. And we too should forgive our brethren all so that the slate is clean. It's that simple to say. Sometimes it's hard for people to do, but that's what the Word of God teaches us we ought to do if we're saved. And I hope you do that with all your brethren. I hope you do that with me. Number three, what basis do I say that the slate is clean? I think that 2 weeks ago, I think all of the kids, as best I know, responded to my invitation to stand against dirtiness in their life and in their school and in their church. And because they responded, I believe them, I trust them, and that wipes the slate clean as far as I'm concerned. Now, I know it'll be hard for some of them to resist temptation, but I believe that they have taken the proper stand and that they want to do the right thing. They're coming in clean September 1st. You start earning your reputation then. And I hope you want it to be a good reputation. We're going to help you. We're going to help you, young people, to have a good reputation by expecting it and by settling for no less. We start a new Wednesday, and we are going to set the standards for all other Christian schools. You say, where do you get off saying that? Who do you think you are? You know, I've talked about this. I know my daughter says, you know, all the schools have those kind of problems. I said, we're going to eliminate those kind of problems. We're going to set the standards. Maybe all the schools have those problems. They don't know why they have those problems. We're going to set the standard. And we're going to have better teachers, and we're going to have better students. Now, how are you going to have respect? How is the teacher going to get respect from the students? You know, I was essentially asked that question by one of the teachers. You know, what are we supposed to do if a student is disrespectful to me? Now, I didn't have an immediate answer for that. Now, I knew what I did when I was a teacher, but I realize that these teachers aren't me. So how will they get respect? Number one, it starts with the teacher demanding it. The teacher is going to demand it. I expect respect. I expect nothing less in my classroom. There must be respect. You know, when teachers don't demand it, you know, they're just opening the door for trouble right away. We had a teacher a number of years ago. I didn't find this out till the summer. You know, the boys were throwing things. You know, she was teaching as if nothing was happening. Boys were throwing things, you know, making a mess, making sounds. You're just spending the whole class period being disrespectful. You know, to me, that teacher had a character problem. Really? You say, that's a mean way to say it. They had a character problem. You, why do I say that? Because if it was me, I wouldn't stand for it. I would not stand for it. Well, you know, it's easy for you to say, you know what? I have had the worst kids in the world. That's right. I've been a classroom teacher, and I've had the worst kids in the world. I've been in the institution where they put the ones that they can't put them anywhere else. And I never, never, never would stand for disrespect for me. And I had to do it with administrations that didn't know what they were doing. Or if they knew what they were doing, they were surely doing it exactly wrong. I wouldn't stand for it. She did. You know, she could have come to me for a solution, but perhaps there was too much pride to say, you know, Pastor, I'm really having a problem. The boys are throwing the ball around. You know, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're making a mess. They're not listening to a thing. Do you think that you could help me get their attention? And I surely would have helped her. You know, maybe she would have thought that I would have said to you, you know, you're horrible. Why don't you go get lost? No, we don't do that. Now, I thought of two solutions. Not for her, it's too late. I thought of two solutions. If the student tests the teacher's demand for respect, and they will, somebody will. Now, you know what your parents ought to say? You got to get this, parent. It's very important to our school. We're all working together. You ought to say to your child, whatever they do to you, I'm going to do it double at home. That's what you ought to say. Yeah, parents, that's what you ought to say. That's what they used to do in the old days when everybody behaved. Yeah. Say, I am not going to take your side. If the teacher perceives that you have done something out of order, I'm standing by the teacher. Now, here's the first solution I thought of. I thought if the student shows respect, and we're going to call your parents and tell them to come get you right now and take you out of the school. And then you won't be back into the school until the parents and the students can assure the school that you will show proper respect. That's the first thing I thought of. Now, let me just throw this in before I proceed. You know, if you don't want your kid showing respect, this isn't the school for you. Now, if I were a parent, you know, I just proposed that solution, right? If I were a parent, and I am, by the way, and it was my youngster, and I have been called about my children, and they were always punished by the school, I guarantee you. If I were a parent, and I was called, my child showed disrespect, come up and get them, you know, I wouldn't want to drive up to the school and get them, would you? I wouldn't want to do that. Now, maybe you would. And if that's what you want to do, that's all right with me. So I thought of a better solution. I thought, you know, I'm just going to send Jim White into the school to beat up your kid. I think we only have to do that once. We only have to do that once. But I thought, you know, what if Jim got a little chicken because it was your kid? You know what I mean? He pulled a few punches, and he didn't beat him up good enough. And that kid came out and said, hey, that Jim White is nothing. And the other kid said, yeah, we'll see what he did, you know? And I thought, you know, Jim might not do it because he works for a living. He wants to make money. He doesn't want to come in and beat up kids. I mean, if he wanted to beat up kids, he'd be a full-time gym teacher. You know? So I figured he didn't want to beat up kids. So I thought of the next best thing. We'll just fine them. You know, fines are simple, they're quick, and they're very efficient. You know why they're very efficient? Because no one likes to pay fines. Especially, now let this sink deep down into your ears, parents. No one likes to pay fines, especially if it is their own money. Wow. If it's their own money. You won't help your child if your child gets a disrespect fine, let's say for $10, and you give them the $10. That would be a major sin in this area of the world. You make them pay the money. Nobody likes to pay money.
Now, here's how it's going to work. So I'm going to give you the illustration. And then you can put it all together, you know, when you read the handbook, which is sitting in the back at dismissal tonight. Well, let's say that Corpus Corpuscle decides that he has to see whether we really mean this or not. So the first day, the teacher says, will you open your books to page 3? And Corpus goes, and lingers for all of his buddies to see what a toughie he is on this teacher and how, you know, everybody else may cooperate, but not him, you know? So the teacher, one of our teachers, I mean, they are such sweethearts. It's going to be hard to get them to be as mean as I am. But we're working at it. The teacher, being so sensitive, says, perhaps, Corpus, you had a stomach ache and couldn't help that groan. But it did strike me as disrespectful. Therefore, this is a warning, and I'm going to write it down. I'm going to put it in a file. It's a warning. A warning means if you do it again, you know. So Corpus responds and says, well, I didn't mean anything, teach. Now, the teacher, with great patience, says, whether you know it or not, you just spoke disrespectful to me, and that will be a fine, and that fine is payable now. And if you don't have it now, you will have to have it tomorrow before you walk through the doors, or you will not be allowed in the school. And Corpus says, you wish. And so our dear patient teacher says, that'll be another 10. And the next one will be another 10, except we'll be going to the phone to call your parents to have you removed from this school. Now, unless some brilliant person can come up with a better plan, you know, we're going to have this fine system. Fines are quick. Fines are effective. And they have plenty of sting. Now, if you make your youngster pay it out of their own pocket, it'll work. Do you know how I know that? Because we have had fines in the past, haven't we? We've had fines in the past for not dressing correctly, girls not dressing correctly, or, you know, too much makeup. And I had a daughter, you know, when they're 13 or when they're 14, I mean, you can just depend on it. Boys resist all their life, but girls, when they're 13 and 14, that's when they got to have lots of makeup on, you know. They're already much more beautiful than their mother, with just certain exceptions. And yet, they've got to mess it up. They have to mess it up with lots of makeup, you know? And I remember my daughter got one of those $10 fines. Pay up. Pay up. She paid once. That's it. That was it. Just once. That's all it took. Does fines work? If you make them pay. If I would have paid, who knows how much she would have done. Do you know what I want from our youngsters? The same thing you want. You want them to be respected, ladies and gentlemen, in every way. Isn't that right? That's what you want. They don't come that way at birth. Do you know that?
They don't come that way at birth. That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Why? Because they didn't come equipped as ladies and gentlemen. They had to be trained to be ladies and gentlemen. And next to spanking, I believe the fine is the best method of correcting youngsters. Why? Because it has a sting to it. Nobody wants to have it happen to them again. Now, I kind of like this, because what will we do with the money that we collect from the fines? I was thinking, I could use a new fishing rod. But, you know, if the kids are really bad, maybe I can get a new fishing boat. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, that will really work, because they're saying, we don't want to do this because we don't want Anderson having that. You see, I thought that would really work. And I thought, now they'd be so resentful, you know, they'd be so resentful about that. They'd say, you know, he's just having those fines to make money off of us. You know. So I thought, you know, maybe what we'll do is we'll take that fine money and we'll buy a fax for the school. And maybe you got a better idea. That's all right. You know? I said, I'll buy a fax for the school with the fines. Put it to good use anyway. Now, what is disrespect? Well, students know what disrespect is. And it goes hand in hand with disobedience, doesn't it? If you obey the direction of your teacher immediately, that is respectful, isn't it? To push it, to linger, to see how long that you can get away with something, that is not respectful. And you know, young people, when you are not ladies and you are not gentlemen and you are not respectful, we do your parents a disservice when we don't immediately correct it. And they do you a disservice when they don't back us up and follow through. Now, you might think all this is too strict. Strict keeping the rules, like keeping the Ten Commandments. Why are they there? The Ten Commandments, because they bring joy. If they're followed by everybody, they bring joy. Teachers like respect. Students like respect. And you get it. When it is demanded. And you know, some may say, well, we can't afford the fine money. That's no problem, just behave. What can be simpler than that? Just behave. Behave, you don't have to pay. You know, there's another wonderful byproduct of this. Because they're all going to end up being ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be allowed to sit together at lunch. Boys and girls. Huh? I thought about this for a while and I thought, maybe we would also have a rule that not only could sit together, but we have a rule that on certain days, certain boys would have to sit with certain homely girls, whether they wanted to or not. Bill's telling me we don't have any homely girls in our school. You know what? Actually, over the years, I think we have had more pretty girls in our school than any place in the history of the world. I really think so. And that's just not puffing smoke. I really believe that. Maybe I'm prejudiced, but I really believe that. So anyway, we're not going to do that. We're not going to force boys to sit with girls. But anyway, they can do that. Now, we are not encouraging high school dating. We never have, except in groups. And so we continue on saying that there'll be no pairing off and fraternizing. I mean, those kind of things are not going to be allowed. As a matter of fact, when you do, you look in a handbook and you'll see that that will be a fine. You know, so if you decide you're going to remove yourself, that the two of you are going to remove yourself from the area, there will be a fine. But there's something else here, too. There are two things, ladies and gentlemen, will not do in each other's company. They will not touch each other, and they will not talk suggestively. Now, touching includes, watch this, girls, the playful slap.
Oh, Herman, you say the silliest things, you know.
It includes that. Yeah. I can't wait to collect your money for that one. And suggestive talking includes, get this? It includes anything that is suggestive that comes along with a little qualification after it. Just kidding. Sorry, kids, I'm not that dumb. Maybe we can sneak away in the dark. But just kidding. What's he doing? He's out there fishing, isn't he? He's out there fishing. If her eyes light up when he says that, he eliminates just kidding, doesn't he? Yes. But if she looks confused, he says, just kidding. And he keeps saying those things and says, just kidding, until she, you know, she's been broken down a little bit. She should say, parents teach him this, teach your girls this, she should say, your kidding's out of line. Oh, it's hard for those girls to say that to the boys, you know, because they just crave in their attention anyway. By the way, if a boy touches a girl, we have a penalty. We have a real penalty for this. I got that from an old friend of mine. I don't know, he had a friend that watched hockey, and he says he's in the penalty box temporarily. We have a penalty for this that you're not going to like. You're just not going to like. If a boy touches a girl, you're not going to like the penalty. But it has roots in the Word of God. If you turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, this is where I got the idea. Chapter 22. Now, this is a little bit different, but I just got the idea. I said I got the idea from it. This is a whole lot more severe here than just touching, but I got the idea from it. Verse 28. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. She may not put her away all his days. You know? We're going to exact a fine, and the fine is going to be given to the girl's daddy. So you're not going to like that, are you? You're not going to like that. You're not going to like that. Now, we're not going to exact 50 pieces of silver. We're not going to do that. Just for an improper touch. But the fine will go to the daddy. Now, the daddies don't have a price for their daughter. But the Lord set this up because you know what? Almighty God, we know that Almighty God knows how to punish, doesn't he? He's got an eternal hellfire for those that are not saved. He knows how to punish in this life. He knows how to punish fornicators in this life with venereal disease. He knows how to punish sodomites in this life with AIDS. He knows how to punish. And he says it's one of the things, when you commit fornication with a girl, you pay the father. And so the fine, if you touch, that's not fornication, but if you touch, and you shouldn't be touching him, you pay the daddy. Now, daddies don't want your money. But more than that, they don't want you touching their daughters. Isn't that right, daddies? Do you notice that all these things have to do with respect for each other? If you don't touch my daughter, that shows respect for her, and it shows respect for me, because I don't want you to touch her. Isn't that right? If we speak politely to each other, we show respect, don't we? And if we do that, we can have a good time. It's a joy to be around people that respect you, isn't that right? I want our school to be a place of joy. Now you can kid around. You can kid around. I hope you will kid around. I hope you're fun to be around young people, and I don't mind if you kid around, but not at someone else's expense, teacher or anybody else. It may take a little bit of thinking now, and then it may take a little bit of cleverness to be able to kid around and not have it be hurt somebody, but that's the way you ought to do it. And if you do it that way, you'll be well off in life, because people will like you if you're joyful to be around, and if you can kid around, and if you don't hurt anybody, people will always like you being around you. And you'll prosper because of that. And the guys kid each other, and they know how to have fun with each other, but they also know when somebody's making fun of them, and that's not fun. When it hurts. I want the school to be a place of joy. Respect for each other. Number two is respect for the Lord. I'm going to summarize this real quick. How do we show respect for the Lord? Language is above reproach. There'll be a fine for vulgar language also. Number two, obedience to the Word of God. Number three, chapel behavior. When you go to chapel, you behave. You sit politely because you're under the preaching of the Word of God, and Almighty God is there, you ought to show respect. And your attitude, being the right attitude before God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, respect for the Lord. Listen, all you growing and maturing characters. If the apostle had joy while he was in jail, you should be able to have joy in our school, even under Bill Joseph. You know, sometimes I know what the kids are talking about. Sometimes I'm thinking, you know. Well, I don't know if we can go in and clean that school up. Yeah. Does that surprise you, parents? Maybe that's why some people didn't think they wanted Bill. Because they didn't want it cleaned up. It's going to be cleaned up. But it's going to be fun. We're going to have fun the right way. Just obey. Just obey. That's what we're saying, kids. Just obey. And when you forget, we're going to help you remember. How? By a friendly fine. And if you like to save money, all you got to do is obey. Now, anything that confuses you when you go home and read that thing through tonight, you ask. There's a lot going into the school. And let's do it with joy. Read the handbook, and on the back, daddies and mommies and kids, you sign that you read it. You sign that you read it. And that way you're not going to come around and say, we didn't know. Because you know what? If you say we didn't know, we're going to fine you for saying we didn't know. Let's have the joy of Christ spread abroad in our hearts as we work together. Let's bow for prayer. Young people, I didn't cover everything tonight, and you're glad I didn't, because you might have stayed here for a long time. But you know, you can make a decision right now, young person that's going to be attending our school. You can make a decision right now before Almighty God, and you can say, you know, I mean to do right. I mean to do right, and I mean to learn how to have fun in a godly way without sinking to the level of so much of the corruption of this world. Yeah, that's a worthy goal, young person. That's a worthy goal. Would you make that the cry of your heart to God right now? Would you do that? And Lord, help you to do that. Because I know you. I know many of you, especially the older ones. And you're good, and you got a lot going for you. And I want to see you be the best of ladies and the best of gentlemen. Would you make that decision right now? And parents, how about you? Would you make a good decision right now? You say, you know, I'm for this. It's what I want for my children. And I'm going to back that school up. As a parent, I want to be a blessing to that school. I want to be a blessing to my youngster. I want to be a blessing to the teacher. I want us to stand out, as the Bible says, as lights in a crooked and perverse generation. Would you make that decision, parents? I'll back them up. And maybe there are folks here tonight. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'll tell you, there's joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. The great joy is, you know, that He washes all your sins away when you come to Him for eternal salvation. That doesn't come through a church. It doesn't come through works. It doesn't come through baptism. It doesn't come through trying to live a good life. We can't be good enough. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is joy in Christianity. And even in the days when we have sorrow, we have joy. We have expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never received Him as Savior, right now you could say, Lord, what I've heard tonight sounds good to me. It's good to know that Jesus can wash away all my sins. I'd like to have all my sins washed away, all the guilt that goes with it. Please save my wicked soul for all eternity. Friend, if you'll do that, He will save you tonight. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you'll admit you're lost, He's willing to save you for all eternity. Right now, in a moment. It's not a process. We're not born into it. In the Word of God, the Lord said, ye must be born again. When that person says, yes, I believe you, Lord, I must be born again, I want to be born again, you can be saved at that moment, in a moment of time, when you believe right and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do that now in the quietness of this moment? As our heads are bowed, before I pray, are there parents and students here who tonight would say, preacher, you can count on me with my whole heart and soul. We're going to want to do right the way you outlined it tonight for the glory of God and for the very best for our own families. If that's true of you, would you raise your hand and let me know? Yes, I see many hands across the auditorium. You can put them down. Thank you. And is there someone here tonight would say, preacher, I don't know much about what you're talking about, salvation. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know that my sins are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to be in the household of faith. I'd like to be saved. Would you raise your hand and let me know before I pray? Is there someone? Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for these parents. Lord, You know that I believe that perhaps the most difficult job in all the world today is to rear good, godly children. And Lord, as a church and as a school, we're trying to do it, and these parents are trying to do it. Lord, I pray that Your mighty hand of blessing might be upon it so that we might be able to do it. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in our endeavor to do it. Help us, Lord, when we fail, to not get our pride up, but rather to humble ourselves before Thee and correct the problem and go after it and do our very best. I pray for every parent, every child here, and our school. I pray Thy blessing upon our staff in the school as they endeavor to carry these things out and to have a good year. And Lord, when we're slipping a little bit, and when we get in a bad rut, Lord, I pray that You might bless us and help us come out of that rut and show the joy of the Lord in all that we do. Help us in that area, we pray. And Lord, we pray if there's someone here who needs to be saved, that they'll answer this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you take 460 in your hymn book, hymn number 460, Only One Life to Offer, that's all we have. For millions of years, we're going to be in eternity, and it's only days that we're here on earth. It's hard for us to think that way, but that's the truth of it. We only have one life to offer. Will you offer it to the Lord so that our days in eternity are that much better? It's a hymn of invitation. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Bible way of eternal salvation, you're not sure that if you died right now you'd go to heaven. I said, absolutely sure not. I think so. If you have to say, I think I'm saved, you're not. Because a person that is saved knows it without a shadow of a doubt. Because the Bible says that we can know that we are saved. If you don't know it, we want to help you to know it. And if you'd like to know it, when we stand to sing, just come down, meet me at the front, and I'll have somebody skilled in the Word of God to show you the promises of God right out of the Bible and lead you in a prayer so that you can know that you're saved and on your way to heaven tonight. You just make the step. I know it's hard to do in a big crowd like this, but you make that step and somebody will speak to you. Let's stand together and sing 460. Don't hesitate. The Lord has spoken to your heart. You know you ought to be saved. Why not come right now?